Welcome to an encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at ForbesBooks.com.
We're talking with Sue Hawkes, the WPO, the annual conference for the Women Presidents Organization. And Sue, you have a book that you're writing. Can you tell us the title of it?
It's called Chasing Perfection, and the subtitle is Shatter the Illusion, Minimize Self-Doubt, and Maximize Success.
So what is it about this topic that made you want to... I mean, writing a book's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
So you are committed to this in a big way.
I am.
What is it about this topic that made you want to write a book about it?
You know, I've spent the last 15 years of my life, and actually my entire adult life post-college, but the last 15 years in particular in women's peer learning groups through WPO, as well as coaching and leading entrepreneurial leadership teams. And I've worked with mainly women business owners. I work with a lot of male teams as well, but I will tell you, by and large, leaders struggle with trying to do it perfectly. Yes. And I think women leaders bring another whole nuance of pressuring themselves to live up to a whole bunch of standards that just don't serve you in who you are and how you want to lead.
In business and in life.
In business and in life. Mm-hmm. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say in life. And so we have this ideal we're trying to seek, and we torture ourselves with it. And I think the more you come into your own, and the older I've gotten, the more I started to go, oh my God, you know, the natural things and the things that are germane to me are what make me me. And a lot of times, it's almost as if we're trying to become some other kind of leader and take the best from all
like
the books.
Like I'm not good enough.
Right. Yes. And so we're mired in these moments of, oh my God, what if they find out? What if they find out I don't know what I'm doing? What if they find out, you know, and the illusion is pierced and someone, you know, looks behind the curtain and I'm not the wizard.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
like that.
So, but help me understand something. We're taping this at WPO. It's
yes.
the Women President Organization.
Yes.
It's the annual conference. I'm a guy surrounded by 800 of the most successful, powerful
you
women
lucky
in the world.
Man.
I completely agree with you. But I guess my question for you, because I don't know how to understand this, is how is that perfection issue different for you than it is for us?
I don't know that it is, but because my experience has been so largely with women, what I would say is here's the distinctions I've noticed, because I've worked with peer learning groups overall.
Yes.
And men, I think, fake it better.
Mm. Like we're more willing to fake it? We're more driven to fake it?
I think because, and this is on the feminist line of things, I think because men truly designed the game of business and women are basically recent entries, if you will, on the continuum of business at large. What I would tell you is I think, by and large, women have not shed the expectations that we had maybe out of the 50s and 60s of what we should be at home. I think the newest generation is getting there. I think also we, when we look at business, we play the game slightly differently. I think it's in most women's nature to nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for most men, they're running a business very neutrally and it's more black and white. And even in the peer learning situations when I'm in with all women, they'll say, how would a guy handle this? The question will come up, or they'll say, you're thinking like a woman. And everybody will go, oh, you know.
Like there's something wrong with it.
Right. But it's also a good wake up, because oftentimes we're letting our feelings and our emotion make the decision. Do I think men do that? Yes. Do I think they show it? No. I think it's much more difficult to express vulnerability if you're a male because of all the stereotypical ways men are brought up. So I think it's the same thing, just masked differently.
I get it. I'm talking with Sue Hawkes. She's the author of a new book, and the title is
Chasing Perfection.
And, you know, it's a killer title.
It is.
Because...
Thank you.
Because it's two words.
Yep.
And it's it.
And we can relate.
Yeah. I mean, you hear those two words, and they go, ope. You know,
welcome to my world.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
So, do you see these tendencies in yourself?
Oh, absolutely. The book has so much of my failure and my own story in there, and it was humbling to do it. It's a very open book of the mistakes I've made and the mm-hmm. trials and challenges I've been through throughout my own life, as well as many other successful leaders I've worked with yeah. directly.
And I should mention, there's another interview that you did, Sue Hawks, with Marissa Smith, because you're both professional EOS implementers. And
we're certified, actually.
Certified,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No problem.
And so that interview is also here at ForbesBooks.com/radio. The challenge with the idea of chasing perfection is, some might respond by saying, well, why would you want to do anything halfway?
I don't know if I'd respond that way. That's a good question. I think of excellence as the higher goal than perfection, because mm-hmm. I think...
Well, so before you go on, yeah. define the two, or yeah. help us understand the difference.
So I think we live in a society where, if I just look at the female side of that, which I'm going to speak to right now, you know, we're supposed to look like we did when we were 20, when we're 60. And I look at...
Who says that?
If you look in magazines, mm-hmm. if you look on television, mm-hmm. I think media is the entire cause of it, any kind of media, socially mm-hmm. or otherwise. When is the last image, and you're a male, when's the last image you ever saw of a female that wasn't photoshopped in print, on TV?
I don't know the answer, but I get your point.
And so,
but isn't that also true for guys?
I think so.
Okay.
But I think women got it first.
I see.
I think the standards, right? Okay. So I think it's the same thing. But what I would tell you is, the world is geared to chase some ideal, and that comes out physically mm-hmm. in that kind of visual way. I think it comes out in business, where it's, if you haven't made a million, you're not really a significant business. Once you hit a million, oh, you're not 10.
Yes.
If you're not 10 and you don't
but
have multiple things.
There's also some power in having those, being driven by those goals, right?
Absolutely.
So you don't want to lose the... And that's the difference.
I think a goal versus an expectation. So going back to the original question, I think perfection is this unattainable horizon. Mm. You know, it's like a horizon line. You're going to keep seeking it. You're never going to be enough. I could be in my best fit shape. I'm not thin enough. I don't look like I did before. I could be in my happiest situation in my family, and I could look at your Facebook life, and, you look so much happier than I do.
You didn't look at my Facebook life. It's not that exciting.
But it's that kind of
but
thing
I understand.
Where I think yes. excellence is mm-hmm. that pursuit of, I want to be truly fulfilled and happy, and I've made mistakes, and mm-hmm. it allows for mistakes, mm-hmm. and it allows for my mistakes, because there's none of us. Perfection is like ISO is to a manufacturing company, where it's 3 mistakes per million. That's
right.
not human. That's
right.
that's machinery.
Right.
And so I want to get to a world where excellence allows for some deviation mm-hmm. from what I'm not, and that's okay, because I can surround myself with you and all of these other great people, and that combination gets us somewhere. But it's not perfect, ever.
Is there, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, you know, excellence is something that's tied to a goal,
mm-hmm.
and perfection is not. Because perfection is beyond a goal, really.
I think expectations are what I would talk about with perfection. Like, the things you adopt and assume, both on your upbringing, but also from society, from your teachers, from wherever you get them, that this is what a good mom or a good daughter or a good student or a good whatever, fill in the blank, looks like or acts like or behaves like, or the results should be this way. I think a goal is something that, unlike a horizon line, I can set it, I can
yes.
measure it, I can attain it, or
yes.
I can't.
Yes.
And then I can let it go and
right.
get to the next thing. And I think there's some nuances yes. in there that free you up to not go, I'm going to kill myself over not being like kids are doing now, by not having that social media fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our suicide rates are going up for a reason in youth. They can't measure up to what
right.
that public
right.
persona is,
right.
and that's a whole nother thing. But this is about what adults start to manifest when we don't measure up in some idealistic ways in any given domain.
Yeah. So as I'm reading your book, what kinds of, I mean, you can't give me the whole book here, but you can give me a tip or two that gives me a flavor of how your book can help me.
Absolutely. Would it help to read some of the chapter titles?
Sure, that sounds like a great way to go.
What I would say in large, to answer the question, and then I'll come back and do the chapter titles, is that everything in here, again, I reveal my own story, and then I talk about some things, because I think people relate to stories where you can say, I've done that.
Yes.
Oh my God, she's way worse off than I was. Or maybe I'm not quite that bad then. Or, oh, there are people like me. So I have other leaders woven in along with me to make the point.
Sure.
And there are practices, because what I am a what's the word I'm searching for? I'm committed to people having a way to do something with it. I don't like theory.
Yes.
It doesn't work
for me.
Yes,
and that's why, you know, give me some actual practical tips.
So the practices go with every single chapter.
Gotcha.
So this book doesn't have to be read cover to cover. You could pick it up and say, that one makes sense to me. Mm. I want to read that chapter. And here's the nuggets, and I can go try them out and see if they work. So there's anywhere from 1 to 5, and then there's a ton of information we're populating, the chasingperfection.com, chasingperfectionbook.com website with, so there's more if you want it. If there's not, discard and move on.
Yes.
So the chapter titles,
because you don't want to achieve, you don't want to shoot for perfection in reading this book, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
you have
use it the way that's useful for you, and you know.
Thank you.
And something that doesn't serve you today may serve you tomorrow.
Correct.
So you've got it forever as a tool in your toolbox.
Correct. Yeah. So unmasking Superwoman is the first one, and it could be unmasking superheroes, because again, we all wear masks.
Yes.
So it's about, what are those pretenses we've built up, and what do you do to make it easier to be more vulnerable and open yourself up to telling the truth and getting there faster when you have a mask on. Second one, balance is BS. I think everyone I've interviewed, and I do magazine interviews, I write articles for Minnesota Business back home, and when I ask them, is there such a thing as balance? I've never had anyone say yes. I think it's more accidental.
That seemed, you know, so in other words, your point is, that's another example of going for perfection, which you can't achieve.
I think it's accidental, and we have moments of it, every one of us.
Yes.
How do you set yourself up with practices to have it happen more often, but it's not permanent?
Yes.
It's incredibly impermanent.
It's a state.
Third one, I don't know if this one's sayable on the radio, but it's be unfuckwithable. And I have a wonderful definition that you have to get the book for, or at least see to see the definition. But it's about basically no drama or craziness around you can shake the centeredness and groundedness that you have.
Yes.
And it's, how do you, again, develop practices that are simple in a really busy life? Fourth one, conquering catastrophe. I have some people, including myself, I would say they are more extraordinary examples, who have been through insurmountable life circumstances. I'm talking terminal illnesses for themselves, their families, and their business all at once. Mm. How do you conquer that while it's happening? And it's not pretty, but talking about that. Another one is intuition is your superpower, because most of us are really good at logical decision making, but how do you learn to trust your gut and move forward when you just feel something so strongly? Like writing this book was one of those for me, going, I'm going to be exposed. What if I'm going to not only make myself look incredibly vulnerable with my story, but what if it's not that good? Or what if it's been written about 200 times? So it's the kinds of things, what do you trust your gut on and how do you get better at that? Sixth one is game changers and trailblazers. And these are people who have paved the way for the rest of us to have an easier ride, and appreciating the difficulty when you're being that person or when you're following them. Seventh one is backward and in heels. And this is, again, a more feminist slant on what women have to do extra and better, just like Ginger Rogers, that may look the same on the outside, but don't fight it.
Yes.
That's part of the deal. The eighth one is pouring gas on the fire. It's how someone telling you no might be the perfect catalyst to get you to succeed and embrace that. And how do you have practices around seeking people out who might challenge you, so that
instead
you pour gas.
Them.
Right. Instead of going, those jerks, I'm never talking to them again.
Right.
It's what are they revealing to you to move it forward. Ninth one is unlearning to learn. Because most of us try and cram more in. Like, I'm at this conference trying to do better, and But did I remove anything? Did I stop doing anything?
You mean
did
bad
I make
habits
space?
Or bad,
or even
bad
just
thoughts.
Too much stuff?
Yes.
How many are you ever overcommitted? Do you pile too much into an already full life?
Yes.
So what are you going to remove if you're going to add something? Mm. So because you can't just keep adding and still be whole.
Right.
And then the last one is entitled to enlightened. And this is working with millennials. And how do you move from an entitled sort of mind frame, which we hear a lot about, to they and you become enlightened in the process? Because I'm very fortunate to have these beautiful young women I get to work with and groom and bring somewhere like here to have them enlighten me and vice versa. And
yes.
So there's things from self-care to business in here, but it's that holistic, what are the steps and the practices? And I call them practices because some of them won't work for you.
Yes.
Some other ones might be better, and I'm going to elicit responses from the people who read this to build on that so that we build a big toolbox so that people have more choice.
Mm. Well, it's a very ambitious project.
Thank you. Maybe too ambitious.
No. And I mean, it's clear just from your description of the book, even chapter by chapter, that I mean, you're very invested in this. And I mean that in the sense that you've lived and discovered methods for bringing value to your readers. And that's very exciting for us as readers, in addition to very exciting for you as the author.
Well, thank you. It is. It matters to me. I'm passionate about it.
That's great. Her name is Sue Hawkes. The website is sayyes.com. It's SAYYESS.com. And the title of the book and the website again?
Is Chasing Perfection, Shatter the Illusion, Minimize Self-Doubt, and Maximize Success. And the website is www.chasingperfectionbook.com.
Fantastic. I would say it was a perfect job, but it seems like a pitfall.
Thanks,
Greg, for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at ForbesBooks.com.